I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
From the Lighthouse Chapel International, Apostle Joel Obuobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
High five two people and say this is a good day to be in church. Amen, amen, amen. Actually, why don't you go around and welcome somebody to this powerful service and this powerful encounter with Jesus. Hallelujah. There is a name I love to hear. I love to speak its worth. It sounds like music in my ears.
The sweetest day on earth. Oh, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me.
Sing it again.
Jesus.
Oh, because he first loved me. There is a name I love to hear. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That name is not Johnny. Is not Richard. Is not Michael. You know, some of these names, they make you cry. When you remember some of these names, like Johnny and, you know, some Richard, some George, you know, Kobe G. They make you cry because they bring memories, but not the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The name of Jesus is a sweet name. If you knew a name at the mention of which every knee bows and every problem submits and yields to that name, would you not love that name? Yes, the name of Jesus is a good name. Amen. Well, you may be seated for a few minutes. This morning in our prayer session, we want to pray. We've been praying for the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we've been praying for the Holy Spirit only because Jesus highly recommended that prayer. Jesus said that it is one prayer that you can be sure that God will answer, isn't it? And we read that from Luke chapter 11 and verse 9, which says, "And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." Then he says, "If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion?" Verse 13. "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" Hallelujah. Isn't it? It says that the Heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. Amen. So the Holy Spirit is a guaranteed answer if he is the subject of your prayer. If your prayer is about asking God for the Holy Spirit, then God has already assured us that that prayer will be answered. You will receive the Holy Spirit. You will receive the Holy Spirit. If you ask for the Holy Spirit, you will receive the Holy Spirit. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
And so we have made it our aim to ask for the Holy Spirit every Sunday.
Amen.
Amen. And the Holy Spirit, when he is upon you, has many different manifestations. And one of the manifestations, or one of the effects of the Holy Spirit on a person's life, is the Holy Spirit guides your speaking. Amen. The Holy Spirit guides your speaking. And the reason why it is important for the Holy Spirit to guide your speaking is because people are known by what they say. Do you understand? People are really judged by what they say. People are categorized and assessed by what they say. That is the reason why people would always try to have an interview with you before they hire you for a job. Do you understand? And sometimes they will hire you for the job even without having seen you. They are content to interview you over the phone because they know that what you say pretty much is what you are, is who you are. I think it's Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Is it? O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? Do you see? That means an evil person cannot speak good things. You see? And it says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Isn't it? So if you want to know what is in the heart, listen to what you're hearing on the mouth. Isn't it? Right. And we're talking about not prepared speeches. Do you understand? And that is the reason why if you observe how people are interviewed, you never go to an interview where somebody has a sheet of paper in front of them with, okay, question number one, what is your name? Question number two, where have you worked? That's not how it goes. Most interviews begin even before you know it's begun. Is that true or not? Yes. It comes across like a casual conversation. It's like someone chatting with you because they really want you to be yourself so you can be unguarded. Do you understand? And you have to, sometimes you go to an interview and you talk to different people. You interview with different people. So now you have to talk to this person. Then after that, they say, come back and come and speak to this other person. And then you come back another time and come and speak to this other person. And you don't know what each of them is looking for. Do you understand? And they are all talking to you about the job or talking to you about fitting in and talking to you about different things. And some don't even want to chat about the job at all. You see the point? The truth is that they want to catch you off guard. And they want your unguarded speech because your unguarded speech reveals your heart. Do you see what I'm saying? Anyone who is looking for a job will say, even if the job is about, you know, maybe cleaning places and so on. So I have a passion for cleaning and dealing with debt. Do you get it? He will say that because he wants the job. Yeah. So he will say, well, I have a passion. I've always, since I was a kid, you get it? I've always picked up after my siblings. You get it? And so it's my thing. It's just me. You know, I just hate trash. You get it? So I believe I'll be a great fit for this job. Because for me, it's not just a job, but you're just tapping into my natural talent and gift. Do you see? So we don't judge people by what they have prepared to say to us. See, if you're going on a date with someone, everybody has been rehearsing what they will say. From the time they started preparing what they would wear, they also prepared what they will say. Is it not true? Yes. So a first date especially is not very useful at all for knowing or defining somebody. Do you understand? Because right from the time the date was arranged, everybody started preparing. Everybody was preparing what they are going to wear, and then everybody was preparing what they are going to say. And the rehearsal has been going on even before they stepped out and stood in front of the mirror, you know, checked everything. Hi, baby. No. Hi, baby. Which one sounds better? Second one. A little husky. Hi, baby. Hi, baby.
Hi, baby.
Not good. Not, hi. Hi. Okay, then what posture? Hi. 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 I mean, which one? See, and all of it has been prepared. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So we cannot go by that. Jesus said, you generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Hallelujah. And so what the mouth says is very important. And actually, when you look in the scripture, you will see that the Bible actually says that we know folly by what people say. In other words, you don't know that someone is foolish until they start talking. I remember one time I was, you know, watching something. You know how when you're on Facebook, you know how the videos show without sound, right? So I saw this video, and it was the video of someone who looked to me like a preacher. Yes, and he entered a room, and there were a lot of people there, and he started speaking, and the people were very excited, and they were all laughing and so on. And as I looked at the person, you know, I just fell in love with him. You know, his whole presentation and the way the people were reacting to the things he was saying, I just loved him, but I hadn't heard what he was saying, right? So because everybody seemed to be excited by what he was saying, then I tapped it so the sound would start coming up. When I tapped it and I heard him, he was actually a comedian full of foul words. Yes, making people laugh by making very dirty jokes and so on, and that's what was going on. So immediately I turned it off. Then I realized it occurred to me that I chose him until I heard him speak. I liked him and I loved him. I loved him for his appearance. I loved him for, he was actually very tall, and I liked him for how he just appeared in the place, the smile he had on his face. He seemed to be a good communicator, and I thought, oh, this is a great guy. I just assumed that he was a preacher. And the way the people were laughing and flowing with him, I thought this man must be a preacher. So when I tuned in and connected to the sound, then I realized this is the last person I'd like to hear. Last person I'd like to hear. Maybe last but one, next to the devil. Do you see what I'm saying? So people, what you say is very important. Are you getting it? What you say is very important. Look at it. There's some scriptures here in the book of Proverbs that talk about what people say. One of them is Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 11. He says, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. Do you see? It says, a fool. So it means even someone who talks a lot. Do you understand? Someone who says more than they must say. You know, sometimes people go for job interviews and so on, and they're asked a simple question. And instead of answering the simple question, they start telling a story. That reveals what must not be revealed. Remember, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Do you see? Yeah. And the Bible is saying that a fool. So how do you know that this person who has come to sit in front of me is a fool? Is by how much he's saying about what he has not even been asked. Do you understand? Then he says, but a wise man keepeth it until afterwards. When someone is wise, he keeps it and says it later, or as on demand, as it becomes necessary, he will say what he must say. Are you getting it? Yeah. So a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man does not do that. A wise man does not utter all his mind. Look at this other verse. It says, for a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by multitude of words. A fool's voice is known by what? Multitude of words. You see? So people who talk a lot, it is a fantastic thing. Then another verse, Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 11 says, a word fitly spoken. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. Hallelujah. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. A word fitly, appropriately spoken. That means speaking appropriately is beautiful. Saying the right things at the right time is beautiful and is a blessing and is one of the things we must trust God to be able to do. Hallelujah. And we're saying that the Holy Spirit is the master helper when it comes to how to speak and what to say. There are a lot of things you didn't get because of how you spoke, because of what you said. You know, Jesus had an encounter with a certain woman. The woman had Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7 and verse 25. A certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit. See, devils and demons like to enter little children. Yeah, that's why you must pray for little children all the time. Amen. And that's why we must teach the little children the word of God. We must teach them not just Barney and who are those people? What? SpongeBob. Is he still alive? Hey, SpongeBob. He was alive when my kids were little and he's still around. Wow. See, so and he has not grown. Same SpongeBob. Yeah. So you see, all these people, all these SpongeBob, Barney, and who? Laura. Dora. Who is that one? Which one? There was a guy who had a really bad attitude. Caillou. Is he still alive? Or he's grown? He's matured. Right. You see, now, some of us expose our children to such characters, you see, instead of exposing them to the word of God. And you see the kids watch Caillou and soon they start folding their arms. Just, I remember very well that he used to do that and make a face. And he would say no to everything he was told. See, it's a spirit of stubbornness. You get it? It's an evil spirit of stubbornness. And the child keeps watching that and watching that. And soon he learns how to respond that way to his parents. Right. Right. But here's a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit. And she heard of him and came and fell at his feet. Right. The woman was a Greek Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. Amen. She would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. You know, now, the woman said, can you pray for my daughter? And Jesus' answer was, let the children first be filled. Right? Because it's not appropriate to give the children's bread to dogs. Do you see? In other words, she being a non-Israelite, you know, was being described as a dog, an outsider. Can you see that? And she answered and said to him, "Yes, Lord. Yet the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Do you understand? Yeah. Jesus said to her that you have to wait because the children have to be satisfied before outsiders. Do you understand? And he called the outsiders dogs. And then the woman responded that, "I hear you. I don't mind if you say I'm a dog." Some of us would have been offended right there and the whole thing. I went to church, and can you believe what the preacher said to me when I asked for prayer? He called me a dog. Do you see? You should try not to be offended in a church situation. A church is a place of blessing. It's a place to be blessed. You shouldn't leave church with an offense. It's not a blessing. Amen. So this woman says to Jesus, "I hear you. Even if you say I'm a dog, fine. But now," she says, "but the dogs, they eat the crumbs that fall from the children's table." Right? And then Jesus said, "For this saying," can you see that? He said unto her, what? For this saying, go thy way. The devil is gone out of thy daughter. Because of what you said, just for what you said, you're getting what you didn't qualify to have. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, this is not the only person who can have what they don't qualify for just by speaking right. There are a lot of things that you didn't get because of how you spoke. It wasn't because you were not qualified on paper. It wasn't because you didn't deserve the opportunity. It wasn't because it was not a good opportunity. See, some people just have a way of saying that, you know, if it was for me, it would have been mine. You know, but listen, if you say that, then there should be no such word as thief. If you really believe that anything that is yours will come to you, then what is the use of the word thief? Because the word thief, or even the word steal, is a word that solely describes people who take things that don't belong to them. So things that belong to you, there are some people who exist who have made it their life's mission to take things that belong to others. I told you the other day, I saw a guy on TV, he said he was a career thief. Wow. His job is to steal. You know, yeah, his job is to steal. He'll steal anything. And he'll find ways of stealing anything. That is his job. So as long as there is such a profession called thief, then you should believe that there are some things that belong to you which you may not get to enjoy because they have been stolen from you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? The devil steals things from people all the time by what they say, just the way they speak. That's right. There are people who lose their marriages because of what they said. Because of what you said. There are people who lose their children because of what they said. And the most common one is people who lose their jobs because of what they said. And people who lose job opportunities because of what they said. Sometimes you go to an interview, you go to the first round, they're happy with you. They say, "Come back." Second round, they're happy with you. And they say, "There's one more director you need to meet." And then you go and you meet that person. You know, then it's because of something you said. You know, and you see, when you interview upwards. You meet the least important people first. And then you meet the most important person last. So the most important person, the last person, is usually the most experienced one. And what he thinks about what is going on overrides what everybody else thinks. So it gets that person and he says, "No, I don't think this is the right person." Why? Because of what you said. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, how can you be sure that you will say the right things all the time? The way to say the right things all the time is by speaking under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Are you understanding what I'm saying? By speaking under the influence of who? The Holy Spirit. By speaking under the influence of the Holy Spirit, you will say the right things all the time. Mark chapter 13 and verse 11. You up when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak. Then it says, neither do ye premeditate. Can you see that? Neither do ye premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Amen. It is not ye that speak, but what? The Holy Ghost. So the Holy Spirit speaks through us. Amen. Amen. You take a church situation like this. The Holy Spirit speaks through us. That is why you can hear some powerful things in a sermon. That's why you can hear something in a service and you wonder, who told him that? How does he know that? Do you get it? Many times I hear people say, Pastor, it's like you live with me in my house. And I've seen people get upset with others because they think those people must have said something to the pastor. For the pastor who's never met them before to say something and describe a situation that is so close to their lives, or so in fact, sometimes not just close, but exact. Do you understand? Or that the pastor would even come. One time somebody told me, the person said to me, he said, I went to preach in their church. And then at the end of the service, he told me, he said, when you went to stand by this fellow, then I just bowed my head and I said, this guy is going to say, I told the pastor something. Because apparently there was something going on with the gentleman. I didn't know. I had just gone as a visitor. I didn't even know him. And I had gone to the church, and as I was preaching, I had moved around like I'm doing now. And I came to stand here, and I started talking about something. And everything I was saying here was exactly what was going on in this person's life. So the pastor was sitting across over there, and then he just did this. He said, I've lost my church member. Because this guy will never believe me when I tell him that I did not say anything to this preacher. It is because the church, the other name for a church is called the house of God. Hallelujah. It's the house of God. When you go to God's house, you shouldn't be surprised to hear his voice. Yeah. Would you be surprised to hear my voice if you came to my house? Oh. What should be odd, rather, is that you're in my house and you don't hear my voice. Yeah. Then the next question you should ask is, where am I? But if you came to my house, it shouldn't be long before you hear my voice. If you come to God's house, you should not be surprised if God speaks to you. You should expect it. Hallelujah. And he does it through the Holy Spirit. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So today we want to pray for the Holy Spirit to influence your speaking. Amen. How many think you could use some help with the Holy Spirit helping what you say? There are some who say, you see, sometimes we think that, even calm people can say the wrong things. Quiet looking people, even the most calculated people can say the wrong things. Yeah. Have you seen this show on TV before, Wheel of Fortune? Yeah. Where they can ask a question and the person stands there thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking and shoots and still shoots wrong. So it's not just that people sat down and thought about something and they said it that makes it right. But I'm just saying that we all need the help of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can help you say the right thing without premeditation. Amen. That's what the verse said. The verse said, don't even premeditate. Don't even think about what you'll say. So if the Holy Spirit is in you, one of the things you will do is you will say the right thing. You will say the right thing. You say the right. Many times I've been in counseling situations and I'm hearing something, and as I'm listening to it, I realize this is complex. Uh-huh. And I realize I don't even know what to say. So sometimes I even wish the person would say a bit more because I don't know what to say. So just keep talking. I don't know what to say. And then there are times when I pray. I say, Holy Spirit, you need to tell me something. Give me something to say. Give me something to say. And shortly after that, as the person is speaking, suddenly I see an opportunity to say something. Hallelujah. Amen. You need the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit to help you say the right things in your relationship. You need the Holy Spirit to help you ask the right questions. To help you ask the right questions, even to make people speak so you can know them. Yeah. Do you understand? Yeah. Because if people don't talk, you won't know them. And you need to say the right things. You need to guide the conversation along the right lines so the person can say what you must hear. That will help you to say, no, this is not a good person, or this is not the right person. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah? And that comes from the Holy Spirit. So we want to pray today for the Holy Spirit to be upon you, to help you in your speaking. Hallelujah. When the Holy Spirit comes, when the Holy Spirit came in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, one of the first signs was they began to speak with other tongues. And today we say we're going to pray for people who do not speak in tongues. Amen. People who are saved. So right after the service, we're going to pray for people who are saved, born again, who do not have the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. But what I want you to see is that he says, the Holy Spirit shall come upon you. And then he says, they began to speak. They began to speak with new tongues. Hallelujah. Amen. In Mark, it says, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. Then he says, in my name, they shall speak with new tongues. The Holy Spirit on you makes you speak. Amen. The Holy Spirit on you influences your speech. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. The Holy Spirit will help you to give a soft answer. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes, there's a verse in the book of Proverbs that says, a soft answer turns away wrath. That when you are dealing with even someone who is very, very upset with you, you know, yeah, but many of us are specialists at pouring, you know, gasoline into, it's like you're standing behind fire and you have a can of gasoline and a can of water and you have the option to pour one on the water, on the fire. But then as you look at the way the fire is raging, you have to make a choice and you choose gasoline. You see, and then the fire erupts. And the whole thing goes to another level. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit will help you choose your words.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The Holy Spirit will help you choose your words. Words that change things. Words that calm things down. Words that change the tone of the whole conversation. And words that make a good impression about you. And words that assure someone about you. You need that. You need that. And you can't do it all by yourself. You need the Holy Spirit. He says, do not premeditate, because in that hour, instantly, God will put something in your mouth to say. The Holy Spirit will help you to speak and say the right things. Hallelujah. Is it a good prayer for today? Right, so stand to your feet and let's pray this prayer for a few minutes. I want you to pray. Just ask the Holy Spirit, say, help me. Help me to speak. Guide my speech. Guide my thoughts so I can say the right things at the right time, I will always say the right thing at the right time in the name of Jesus. Just pray, everybody. Shakata malamo satabala baba. Mikolo mosotoli malaba kandari alaba bala baba. Mikotolo boshandara bala baba baba sandare bala baba. Shatala baba. Mikolo mosotoli sandari alaba bala shandari bala baba baba sandari bala baba. E molo seteli bere 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 Speaking, walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. Walk in wisdom towards them that are without. That means towards outsiders, towards people who are not Christians or people who are not. It says, walk in wisdom towards them that are without. Now, verse 6 says, let your speech be always with grace. Amen. Let your speech be with grace. Let your speech be with grace. Then it says, seasoned with salt. Hallelujah. That ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. See, when it comes to speaking to people, when it comes to answers, there is nothing like one size fits all. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah. Different things have to be said in different ways to different people. If you say the same thing in the same way to everyone all the time, you'll be surprised that your results will not always be the same. Do you see what I'm saying? So it says you need to know how to answer every man. You need to know how to answer this type, how to answer that type, how to speak, how to address this type of person, how to address that type of person. It's a very important thing. But he says there is a way of speaking that is seasoned with salt. You see, one of the things about salt is it makes things taste good. Isn't it? Yes, it makes things taste good. Says your speech must be seasoned with salt. Salt also preserves. Do you see? So you have to be able to speak in a way that preserves, doesn't make things worse. Do you understand? Yes. When people are already considering taking a certain decision about you and they invite you for a hearing, so just to give you a chance to save the situation, you're not supposed to go in there and make it worse. If you have some salt in your speech, it will save something you were about to lose. The salt in your speech will save the situation. It will change somebody's mind. It will make someone think differently about you, and it will make a change in the outcome of things. Hallelujah. So pray again and ask God, Lord, I want salt in my speech, and I want grace in my speech. I want to be able to speak gracefully. I want grace in how I talk. I want salt in how I talk. And I want skill in knowing how to speak to different situations and speak to different people. I want you to guide me, help me, Lord, to be one who speaks well and speaks the appropriate things. I can say a word fitly spoken. I will speak the right things in the name of Jesus. Come on, pray everybody and ask God to help you. In the name of Jesus, oh God, that we will speak well, that we will put forth grace unto our mouths. Let our mouths radiate with grace. May we speak 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 with grace. Seasoned speeches, seasoned answers, answers that are seasoned with salt, answers, oh God, that do not make things worse, but that help save situations, that improve situations in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Masotoromo Setelia, Mikolo, in the name of Jesus, 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 in the name of Jesus. Now, finally, you know, our prayer won't be complete without binding the devil.
That's right.
Amen. So we want to pray against things that have been t- pray about things that have been destroyed because of things we said which were inspired by the devil. Because the devil also gives people things to say.
That's right.
Do you understand? One of the things the devil gives to people to say is lies. A lie. Yeah. To tell lies. You know, one time some evil spirit said, I will go and be a lying spirit in his mouth. Do you understand? Yes. So we want to pray and bind that influence. We want to bind every work of the devil in our lives that has to do with something we say or something we have said.
Yes.
Are you understanding what I'm saying? Things that are being destroyed because of what we have said. Things we shouldn't have said, which we said. And sometimes things we should say that we didn't say. You see, that we held back. We didn't say what we should have said. You know, and it's only after you leave that you wish you had said this instead. Or you wish you didn't say this instead. Let us pray and bind every work of the devil. Let's bind the voices of devils and demons that make people say the wrong things. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we bind the voices, we silence the voices, voices of devils and demons that seek to guide us and to influence our lives by guiding and leading us to see the wrong things. In the name of Jesus, voices of devils, evil spirits, in the name of Jesus Christ. We call upon the blood of Jesus. We call upon the blood of Jesus. We call upon the blood of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your blessing today. Thank you for the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And thank you for the help we have from the Holy Spirit in the things we say. Thank you. From today, our speech will be with grace.
Yes.
Always.
Yes.
Even when we're upset,
yes, Lord.
Our speech will be with grace.
Yes.
Never will a word fall off our lips that is not guided by the Holy Spirit, that is not inspired by the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, help us to speak right. Help us to speak well. Help us to say the right things. And may our speech always open doors for us. May our speech give us favor all the time. May our speech make us the chosen and preferred ones.
Amen.
May we always say the right things at the right time.
Amen.
Words fitly spoken.
Yes.
That will be the hallmark of our speech.
Yes.
From today.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord.
Yes.
For your blessing. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
And everybody says amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord. I want you to go down to your neighbor and just tell them, I just prayed for you and I believe that God will help you. The way you speak from today is going to change. Yes. Hallelujah.
Amen. Oh, amen. Wasn't that powerful? Amen. Words fitly spoken, amen, will be our testimony. Amen. Wow, you may take your seats in the house of the Lord. Amen. So we'll begin with our verse of the week. Amen. And I believe we have some powerful testimonies. Amen. And then offering time. But a verse of the week for this week is Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, which says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Amen. Wow. So shall we say together, please? Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Galatians 3:28. Wow. Let's say that again, please. Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Galatians 3:28. Wow. Shall we say for the last time? Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Galatians 3:28. Wow. I believe that we can say without it being on the screen now. Kawi? All right, here we go. Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. But ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Galatians 3:28. Amen. Oh, put your hands together unto the Lord. Amen. I believe we have some powerful testimonies. Amen. Oh, are you excited for the testimonies? Amen. Shall we welcome our sister Celine as she comes up to give her testimony? Put your hands together for her. Encourage her. Amen. Wow.
Today I have two testimonies, two short testimonies.
Wow.
So one of them has to do with the fact that I don't have a testimony that I share every single year for maybe the past, I don't know how many years. Every November, sometime in November, my mother like gets very sick.
Wow.
And almost has like a near-death experience. Mm. And so this year I was very prepared. And like if you've been in the church long enough, you know that by this time of the year I'm never here.
Wow, it's true.
I always have to go. I always have to go and be with her because something has happened or something. So this year I had my tickets booked, you know, I was just like, just in case I have to leave, you know, I have things organized, you know. But this year, by the grace of God, nothing happened.
Wow.
At all. Nothing happened.
Wow.
And this is for seven, this has been for 7 years, as far as I can remember, for seven good years. She's always sick or something happens. And so I'm also like thinking this to Happy Salvation Sunday. I just thank God that I'm saved. You know, that there's a God that died for me.
Amen.
You know, that loved me enough to sort out any situation that has happened. So I want to encourage anyone who's been going through any problems or anything, just to understand that through your salvation, just look to Christ. Christ had no backup option. You know, this is my mother. She's all I have left in this world. Like, I haven't, if she's not there, I have no backup, you know. So just look to Christ and just, you know, let your salvation mean something to you. And my second testimony is about miracle money. So 4 years ago, so my father passed away, and in my culture, we have something we call ijapazi, which means your inheritance, or everywhere you have it. So in my culture, there's always a court of law also, but then most of the time, the family deals with it. And so for the past, I don't know, 4 years, they've always told me, discussing how we're going to share this, we're discussing how we're going to do this. And then at some point, I just was like, I know, I don't want to know anymore because I don't want to keep looking forward to something that, you know, I'm probably not going to get. And, you know, by the God's grace, like, I'll be okay. And so some 3 weeks ago, my grandmother called me and she said, oh, your uncles came here. And when she said that, I was like, oh. That's what we were saying. That's not good news. So my grandmother would have, you know, maybe blasted them or said something to them. And she was like, well, they said that one of your father's buildings, they are renting it out. And this is your portion. They shared this among the family. This is what they are bringing to you. So it's really a testimony of miracle money. Season we are going through in the church, there's so many testimonies of miracle money. So believe that yours will come to you. Even if it takes 4 years, you know, and this is from now and every year I should expect this miracle money. So, you know, just keep going. Thanks to God. Amen.
Amen. Wow. For 4 years they had been discussing. My God. But she has finally received it. Amen. May you also receive your miracle. Amen. Oh, shall we put our hands together and welcome Brother Felix? Amen. Oh, let's encourage him as he comes up to share his powerful testimony.
have a lot of testimonies that I want to share, but this will be the one that I really want to talk about.
Okay, share with us.
1998. Wow. Is this in relation to how I got to know Christ, right? An auntie that was very close to me, she died at the very moment that she was about to do her wedding. So it was like any time that I go to bed, like things be moving around in the room. Until I cannot sleep. And it was consistent to the point that even when you go to school, you'll be sleepy because you can't sleep at night. And one time I was going to take a book from a friend. I think I was in middle school by the time, so whilst I was going, I had to pass through a place that we play soccer during the weekend, you know. So I saw people praying. And then it was in the night. It was some church members praying. And so I was like, you know what, let me also go and pray, because something occurred to me, kept pushing me to go and pray. So I prayed for almost like, I think 20 minutes. It was just by myself, walking around and praying. Then that night, I really slept like a python, seriously.
Wow.
I slept very well. Then it became consistent, like somebody who was not even going to church. And I resorted to go to church.
Wow.
Now, I got one time there was a pastor who was praying in that church, so I decided to go forward to raise my hand for declare my salvation. Then the following year, I got baptized.
Wow.
And then it's been consistent, like great things been happening in my life. So I just want to share this, that anybody who is going through troubles, whatever be the challenge, because it has been so helpful to the point that one time I went to an embassy, that was the United States embassy, my money was short like $200. Wow. And somebody was like, I'll pay for you.
Wow.
So, so it is a lot of miracles that I've received, but this is what I want to share.
Amen. Wow. Amen. Oh, put your hands together for the Lord. Amen. May your prayers also bring somebody to salvation. Amen. He said he slept like a python. Hey, not a baby, but a python. Wow. It's too powerful. Amen. Shall we put our hands together one more time unto the Lord? Amen. Offering time. Oh, I said offering time. It is blessing time indeed. Amen. If you have your offering with you, as always, you can either give by cash, by check, or by text message. Amen. If this is your first time giving, please text the word Lighthouse to the number 444-999. Once again, that's Lighthouse to 444-999. And you can also save the number for future giving. Amen. Wow. If you have your offerings, if you could please lift it up as we pray. Father, we ask that you will bless this offering, O God, and supply our needs also according to your riches and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's put our hands together for Jesus. Amen. As the ushers come around.
Sanctuary. I know that I wouldn't be here without Jesus and like all of us. So, falling in love with Jesus, falling in love. with Jesus, falling in love with Jesus is the best thing I have ever done. Falling in love with Jesus, oh yeah, falling in love with Jesus, oh, falling in love with Jesus is the best thing I ever done. In his arms I feel protected, yeah. In his arms I'm never disconnected. Best place I ever wanna be.
Together for the Lord, that was powerful, amen. Oh, and with a standing ovation, amen, shall we welcome our pastor, amen. Oh, our father, our prophet, Apostle Joel.
Everybody says amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Happy Salvation Day.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Amen. So if you see us all wearing white, there is a reason for it. Amen. We're celebrating our salvation. Hallelujah. And salvation is the best thing that can happen to anyone. Hallelujah. Salvation is the most precious and ought to be the most precious thing to you. Hallelujah. Your salvation is more valuable to you than a university degree. Your salvation is more precious to you than your college degree. Seriously, your salvation is more precious than your job. Your salvation is more precious than your marriage. Your salvation is more precious. Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? He says, what did a man gain that he got the whole world? I mean, put the whole world. Not, let's not even think about the whole world. Let's think about LA. Let's assume that the whole world is Los Angeles, right? Maybe even to think Los Angeles is too far. Let's think about this neighborhood, right? Pasadena, and maybe even just the street, right? There are lots of precious, very valuable houses on the street. But Jesus said, what shall it profit a man? What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world? If the whole world was offered to you and you lost your soul, he said that you didn't make a profit.
Wow.
Isn't it? Yes. Right? Profit is, how do you define profit? It's the income minus the expenses, isn't it? The income minus the expenses that brought that income, isn't it? So what you give away is the expense, isn't it? And what comes in is income, right? And the Bible says, if what came in is the whole world and what went out is your soul, you lost. Your balance sheet is in the minus, is negative. Hallelujah. So then it means the salvation of your soul is the most precious thing you have. And it is the most precious thing to pursue. It's the most important thing a person must go after. It's amazing how we have time for so many things and don't have time for God. Or don't have time to do things that help to secure and establish our salvation. You know, people have time to go to parties. 2-3 hours at parties, it's like it's nothing. You know, a friend of mine had a party and then they invited me. It was actually the naming or christening of a little baby. You know, and he said that the party was in the night. He said it was in the evening. And I was just thinking, even the baby will be asleep. The one whose party it is will be asleep. And he said, oh, but, you know, and then I went there. I went there, I think it was about 9 o'clock or so at night, you know. And, of course, the baby was long gone, you know. And then he had the party and there were some people there. I was expecting them to be there, but they hadn't arrived. And so I was there for a little bit and I was leaving because I was going to go to church the next day. And then I asked him, it looks like the party didn't really work out because the main guys didn't come. No. Then he said, oh, they're coming. You know, it's now going to start. I was leaving there around midnight, you know, because I had to go to church in the morning. And then he tells me, oh, the real party is now about to begin. It's like the real thing is now about to start. You know, and truly, when I was leaving, when I got into the car park, that's when I saw the arrivals. Yeah, arrivals. People now showing up for the party. People have time for parties and have time to do so many things. And it is because people don't have Christ's estimation of their soul, the value of their soul. Your valuation of your soul is not the same value that God puts on it. Do you see? That is how come you can have time for a party and not have time for the saving of your soul. Hallelujah. Salvation is the best thing that happened to anyone. And I want you to change your attitude about your salvation. Some of us are very reckless with our salvation. You know, I had a friend years ago who used to, you know, blast us. He was like, when I gave my life to Christ, he was like an older brother with you know, who was helping us, and he used to say that, you know, you shouldn't play hanky-panky with your salvation. You know, I didn't even understand what he was saying, but he used to tell me all the time, you can't play hanky-panky with your salvation. You know, and anytime there was a meeting, if I made an excuse not to be at the meeting, he would tell me, look, I've told you, you cannot play hanky-panky with your salvation. You know, I didn't know what it was worth. I didn't know what it was worth. And maybe our estimation of the value of our salvation is off because salvation is free. Do you see? Free to us. Do you understand? Yeah, because salvation is not free. Salvation is not free. It's just that a different person paid for it. Yes. And many times people think things are free. Yeah. Isn't it? Yeah. When I was a kid, I never knew I didn't even know the water bills. I didn't know any of this. I just knew that some guys used to come by and drop these blue cards in the house periodically. I didn't know that was the water bill. I didn't know that. You know, and as kids, we would be playing outside. If we saw the card, we'll take it, we'll rip it. Because we didn't know what it was. You know, I didn't know anybody paid for water. I didn't know anybody paid for electricity. I didn't know that any of these things were paid for. It was when I grew up that I began to understand that all along somebody was paying the bill. All along somebody was paying the bill. But to me, it was free. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes. Your salvation is free to you, but it cost somebody his life. Do you understand? It cost somebody his life, and you must go to the price. Go to the price, do you see, to estimate the value of what was rescued by that price. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You must look at the price tag that was paid for your salvation to get a good sense of what your soul, which was saved, is worth. Can I have an amen? Amen? Yes. Someone gave me a gift recently. Actually, it was my wife. She gave me a gift recently. And I had the gift. She gave it to me. It was there, and I put it somewhere. But one day, we were just chatting, and then it slipped out. You know, she didn't mean to, but something we were saying made it slip out. And she mentioned the value of the gift. Wow. You know, Christ. From that day, my whole attitude. You know, yeah. I said, what? Why did you do that? Why did you pay something like that for? You know, then I said, you must like me very much. You must like me very much. You see the thing? Yeah. So when you read a verse like John 3:16, you look at it, John 3:16. It says in John 3:16 that God so loved the world. As soon as you don't have to read far to start getting a sense of the value of your salvation. Do you understand that? It says God so loved. He saw salvation is a product of extreme love. Somebody liked you so much. So much. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Do you understand? He so loved the world that he gave. So that must mean that the person who benefited from the salvation must be so precious to him. That's why he said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. His only begotten. There is, throughout this verse, there is an effort to make you understand that your salvation is not free. That your salvation is not cheap. Do you understand? That salvation is not cheap. That the fact that you are saved
is something you should be thanking God for every time. As you were singing the song, that falling in love with Jesus is the best thing I have ever done. You know, and I can understand how you feel. I can understand. Anybody who has any understanding of their salvation will and ought to feel the same way. Do you understand? We may not express it the same way, but we ought to feel the same way. You have to feel that something great was done for you. And if that feeling is not there, I'm not saying you must cry, but I'm just saying that you must have that feeling. Not a feeling to cry, but a feeling of value. Something has been done for you. Something has, and when that feeling is not there, often it's the sign that you are probably not saved. When you can understand why people make such a big fuss about salvation. When you can't understand why people make such a big fuss about God, about Jesus. Why must people go to... Do I have to go to church every Sunday? I mean, why? Why do we even go to church? Or do we have to spend so much time in church? Anything you understand, when you understand it, you understand and you appreciate how much time it takes to do it. So if you showed up at a party and the party started at 10 and you got there at 10:30 and they say it's over, you're going to say, oh. You would be disappointed, isn't it? And you would say, what kind of party is this? Why would you say something like that? It's because you have a deep appreciation of what a party must be like, how long it must last. So the 30 minutes... No, you don't think it's a real party. You think there's something wrong here. Do you see what I'm saying? So when people don't understand, I'm trying to give you clues just to help you evaluate and assess yourself. Because it might be that you are not even saved. There's a difference between being saved and being religious. Do you see? Being sympathetic towards religion or, you know, having a leaning towards religion is not the same as salvation. Amen. It says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave his only begotten son. His only begotten son. God so loved the world. You should be asking yourself, what is it about you that makes someone want to give his only begotten son? Only begotten, the only child they have. You must be carrying something that's precious. You must be very precious to God, or there must be something about you, whether you understand it or not. That's why I'm saying, even if you don't understand your soul and its value, and therefore the value of your salvation, just go to the price that was paid. Do you understand? Yeah. Let someone tell you the price. Because when she gave me the gift, I didn't really understand what the gift was. It looked to me like, you know, just another one of those. Do you see? Then when she explained it by telling me what it cost. Then immediately... Yes, I changed my attitude. I said, I have to respect this thing. I have to respect this thing. I have to change how I'm treating this thing. I have to change my attitude towards this thing. You know, this is the second time that happened to me. One time someone gave me a gift of a pen. It was a pen, you know. And then I just, okay, praise the Lord. I put it somewhere. It was just somewhere. Then one day I was waiting in an airport. I think it was in Amsterdam, and I was going through some shops. Then I just happened to have come to this place where they were selling such gifts, and I went and I recognized my pen. Yeah. So then I checked the price, and the price was in euros. So I did the calculation. You know, even as euros, the number was quite hefty. So when I did the calculation... You know, I couldn't wait for the plane to fly. to come and rescue my pen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So if you don't know the value of your soul, simply check the price that was paid to rescue your soul, to save your soul. The price that was paid. Check the price. And let that begin to change your attitude towards your salvation. Your salvation is not the least important thing about you. Unlike the way we treat it, often our salvation is like the least important thing about us. When we don't have anything to do, then we go to church. When we don't have anything to do, then we think about God. You know, when it's maybe a special occasion or something, then we think about God. But if you understand your salvation, salvation, salvation. So, you know, I was looking in the dictionary to check the meaning of salvation. And I was surprised at what the dictionary, and this is not like a kind of Bible dictionary or a church dictionary or something like that. It says, salvation is the act of saving or protecting from harm, risk, loss, destruction. It says, it is the act of saving or protecting from harm, risk, loss, destruction. That is salvation. So salvation ought to mean something, isn't it? Look at it. When he says, for example, in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, the Bible says, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He shall save his people from their sins. He shall save his people. And the dictionary says, it means he will rescue the person. He's going to rescue us from harm, from risk, from loss, from destruction. So anyone who is saved is rescued from harm, from loss, from risk, from destruction. That must be the reason why your salvation has to be the most important thing for you. The thing that has rescued you from harm, from loss, from risk, from destruction. It must be the most valuable thing to you. It must be the most valuable thing to you. Your salvation. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Your salvation must be precious to you. You must be glad and not ashamed to be saved. You see, some people are embarrassed by their salvation. They are embarrassed about being saved. If someone was to look them in the eye and say, are you one of those saved people, saved Christian, salvation, saved church type people? You see people trying to explain, well, it all depends on what you mean by saved. It all depends on what you mean by salvation. You know, I mean, I am not saved like that. I heard someone say that once. He said, I'm not saved like that. It's like someone was describing or asking, are you one of those church people? Are you one of those people who talk about the Bible all the time? One of those people who try to convert other people? You know, then he answers, I am not saved like that. You should not be ashamed of your salvation. You should rather be ashamed of not being saved. Because if you are not saved, if you have not experienced salvation, it means you are in danger. Where's the dictionary thing again? What does it say? You know? Huh? Pastor Paul, can you check your dictionary again? And just say, it says, it means you are in danger of harm, risk, loss, destruction. And I don't know anybody who is in danger of harm, risk, loss, and destruction who is proudly walking around and say, look at me, look at me. We're having all these fires in California, and the people whose homes are at risk of loss, none of them is proudly boasting and walking around and proudly saying, you see that house there? That's mine. It's about to go. That's not what they are doing at all. That's not what they are doing. Yeah. They are sad. They are disturbed. I saw a picture yesterday of a man and a woman leaning on each other. You know, I think they had lost their home, lost everything. And they were standing there and just really sad. You should be sad if you haven't experienced salvation. If you haven't experienced salvation, you should be very disturbed. Something so precious that it cost someone his only begotten son for anybody to taste a part of it. Even if you don't understand it, you must want to experience it. Just based on the price. Isn't it? Yeah. Just based on the price. Yeah. One guy told me the other day, he said he wants to eat filet mignon. And I asked him, do you know what it is? He said, no, but the way they talk about it. He's heard that it will be very nice. He's heard that it's expensive. And the way they talk about it, he thinks that it must be something. So it's his life's goal to eat filet mignon one day. Yeah. I think he's a sensible person. You get it? You don't have to wait till you taste it. But just go by the label. Go by the label. And let the label guide you into it. Let the label guide you into it. Let the label guide you into it. You should be worried if you haven't experienced salvation. If the dictionary defines salvation as being rescued from harm, from risk, from loss, and destruction, then you should be very worried if you haven't experienced salvation. However it comes, it must be your life's goal to be saved. Don't you think so? Yes. It must be your aim to be saved. You must run through anything, leap over anything to be saved. Because if to be saved is to be rescued from loss, from risk, from destruction, then it must be your aim to be saved. And if you are saved, then it must be your aim to stay saved. Are you understanding what I'm saying? If you are saved, if you have experienced salvation, then it must be your aim to stay saved and fight to stay saved. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? Salvation is precious. Salvation is precious. Tell your neighbor, salvation is precious. Jesus came to bring us salvation. It's the only reason why he came. He says, you shall call his name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. He will save his people from their sins. That's why we have Jesus. Salvation comes through Jesus. The Bible says there is no other name given among men. You know, people float around all kinds of names. But it's like that. Anytime there's a real thing, you have a lot of counterfeits. Actually, there is no counterfeit except when there's a real one. Do you understand? That's why you should never worry about anyone giving you a fake $3 bill. You should never worry about that. Because there will never be a fake $3 bill. Why will there not be a fake $3 bill? Because there's no real $3 bill. But you should worry about fake $100 bills and fake $20 bills because the real one exists. You need the truth to define a lie. If there is no such thing as truth, you can't call anything a lie. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah? Jesus is the only name that is given among men by which salvation comes. He's the only one, you know, about whom the word of God says he was born to take away the sins of the world. His job is to bring us salvation. His job is to bring salvation to the world. The most precious thing. Hallelujah. So that verse we read, the John chapter 3:16, it says, whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you understand? God so loved the world. God so loved the world. God so loved the world. You see, even if you don't understand what perish means, do you understand? Just think about how so loved the world and giving of the only begotten son is the thing that is given to prevent it. Are you following what I'm saying? Yes, so go also by what is given to prevent perishing to understand what perishing probably means. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. Because if I sent you to get me a cup of coffee from Starbucks and you told me, I have money, I'll get it. And I ask you, how much do you have? And you say, $5. And I say, no, it's not going to work. Then I give you $100. You should begin to think that the coffee costs more than $5. Isn't it? Yeah. It should. So you think about it. It says, whosoever believes in him should not perish. So maybe we don't know what perishing is. But we know that for people to avoid perishing, it costs somebody's only begotten son. Do you understand? Then perishing must be very serious. Perishing must be very serious for it to cost somebody's only begotten son to prevent. Hallelujah. And he says, whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Should not perish. But have everlasting life. Hallelujah. But have everlasting life. Whosoever. So anyone can be saved. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Means salvation is for everybody. I mean, why would you stay unsaved when salvation is for everybody? Whosoever. 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 When the firefighters come to the fireplaces where the houses are burning, you know, it's whosoever. Do you understand? There is no selection. Do you get it? They don't go to the home and just check out what car do you drive. Huh? You drive what? A Nissan? Come on. We're not going there. We're saving people who have Maseratis and Mercedes Benzes and Teslas. Those are the ones who are being saved. No, 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 no. They knock on every door. Do you understand? Whosoever. Whosoever. Anyone. What a waste it would be for you not to respond to the door when the firefighter has been sent to save you. What a waste of life. Hallelujah. And yet that's how many of us are choosing to live. Jesus, the firefighter, has come and he's knocking on the door. And we're choosing to stay in the risk, to stay in harm's way, to stay with the destruction. Hallelujah. Let your salvation mean something to you. Let your salvation be precious to you. If your salvation is precious to you, you'll be wary of friends and people who sort of steer you away from securing your salvation. You be careful of people who always have some different idea and who sort of lead you down pathways that move you away from what salvation seeks to bring into your life. It's a blessing to be saved.
Amen.
And of course, then the most precious people to you will be the people who help you to stay saved. People who help you to secure your salvation. People who help you to understand your salvation. People who help you to make the most of being saved. Those will be the most precious people to you. Hallelujah. Not people who make me feel far and who introduce me or reintroduce me to the very things that I've been saved from. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I think the word saved would not have been used if it didn't mean anything. It must mean something to be saved. Tell somebody, I'm glad I'm saved. Tell the person, you ought to be glad about your salvation. You ought to be happy about your salvation. Hallelujah. Let's read the last verse before we close from Titus. Hallelujah. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. It says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men. The grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men. Isn't it? It has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Isn't it? So it means salvation is for you have to be saved in this present world. Hallelujah. There's nothing like being saved after you die. Your only chance for being saved is while you are living in this present world. In this present world. Hallelujah. In this present world. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior. Our Savior is the agent of salvation. The agent, the one who brings salvation to everyone, is our Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Don't be one of those who celebrate and enjoy at Christmas without understanding what it's about. It's called Christmas. Christ. Mass for a reason. It's about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's about Jesus Christ. It's about Jesus Christ. And He is our Savior. He is the one who brings salvation to people. That means anyone who doesn't have Him does not have salvation. You don't get to experience salvation without Jesus Christ. Without the Savior, you can't experience salvation. The Savior is the one who brings salvation. And I believe Jesus is bringing salvation to us. Today and this Christmas. Hallelujah. Salvation is precious. Tell somebody, salvation is precious. He says it has appeared to every man. Everyone, all men, anyone can be saved. There's no reason why you shouldn't be saved. There's no reason why your relatives shouldn't be saved. Don't give up on your relatives who are not saved. Salvation is for everyone. Everyone is savable. Everyone can be saved by this precious provision that God has made. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. Hallelujah. Just bow your heads with me as we pray. I want us to pray as we close the service this afternoon and thank God for salvation. Just thank God for your salvation. Thank God for saving you. Thank God for your salvation. Tell the Lord, I'm glad I'm saved. Thank you. I didn't realize it was precious. I didn't realize my salvation was this precious. I didn't realize my salvation was the most important thing I had going for me. My salvation. My salvation. Thank Him for your salvation. And then while others are thanking Him for their salvation, maybe you are here this afternoon And you know in your heart that you are yet to experience salvation. You are yet to experience salvation. You have not experienced salvation the way we have or the way others have. But today is your opportunity. Today, God is reaching out to you. And God is saying, you can have what I've given to others. The same thing that has changed so many lives, changed so many people, affected so many lives, rescued so many people from harm, from risk, and from destruction. The thing that has saved people from being drunk, the thing that has saved people from drugs and being saved people from so many different things. That same salvation is available to you today if only you will invite the Savior into your life. If you will give the Savior an opportunity to come into your life by a simple prayer, which we will say in a moment, you can ask the Savior to come into your heart. And when the Savior comes into your heart, He will forgive your sins. The Bible says He will save His people from their sins. The Savior will save you from your sins. The Savior will save you from your sins. But you have to come to Him. You have to invite the Savior. You have to say, Jesus, come into my heart. I recognize I am one of those people that needs to be saved. I'm one of those people who are yet to experience salvation. And so, Jesus, please come into my heart. Forgive my sins and save me. If you're here like that, or you're watching on the internet or watching on Facebook, but you know in your heart that you are not born again, you are not saved, you haven't experienced salvation, Jesus is offering salvation to you today. So while every eye is closed, let us close our eyes, everybody, as we're praying. While every eye is closed, I want to give you that opportunity. I just want you to raise up your right hand right where you are. Just stand right where you are, but just raise up your right hand and I'm going to pray with you. You want to give your life to Jesus. You want to embrace the salvation that the Savior brings. You want to be sure that you have experienced this wonderful gift of salvation. I want you to raise up your right hand quietly and I'm going to pray with you. Is there anybody here like that? You want to give your life to Jesus. You want to experience salvation. You want to experience salvation. Is there anyone here like that today? To be saved from harm. To be rescued from destruction. That is salvation. That's what Jesus is offering to all of us today. Is there anyone here like that? You want to take advantage of the opportunity to be saved. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. When people are not saved, one thing is sure: destruction. Destruction of their soul. Destruction of their lives, even here on earth. When people are not saved, that is what happens. But Jesus came that you might have life. He came to rescue you. He came that you will be delivered from harm's way. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Here is the last opportunity. Is there anybody here who wants to be saved? Just raise up your right hand. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Why don't we say this prayer together? And those of you watching us online, I want you to join us in the same prayer right where you are and say with me, say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. Say, Lord Jesus, I acknowledge I'm a sinner. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe there is salvation in no other name. That is why I come to you today. I know I'm a sinner. I know I need help. And only you can help me. So, Jesus, please come into my heart. Forgive my sins, Lord. Let your blood wash me. Let your blood cleanse me. Say, let your blood wash me. Let your blood cleanse me. Say, please write my name in your book of life. And tell him, say, my name is. And mention your name to the Lord. Say it again. Say, my name is. Please write this name in your book of life. Thank you, Jesus, for salvation. You are my Savior. From today, I will live for you and I will serve you. You are my Savior. Jesus is my Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Go around and congratulate someone on being saved. Tell them congratulations on being saved. Tell them you have the most precious thing released into your life. God has blessed you. You are saved. It must mean something. It must mean something. It must mean something. Thank you, Lord. Put your hands together for the Lord. Put your hands together for the Lord. Put your hands together for the Lord. Congratulations. Amen. Amen. Now we want to come to the Lord's table. And we want to have communion. This is how we get saved. By the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus gave his life for us. Jason, Jesus, I'm sorry, you have to get it. Jesus gave his life so that you might have life. Hallelujah. This is the body of Jesus Christ. This is the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And as we come to the Lord's table today, we're thanking him for giving his life. He gave his life for us. The Bible says his body was broken. His body was broken for us. His body was broken for us that we might have life. Hallelujah. Salvation comes with so many things. It's not only the salvation and washing and forgiveness of your sins, but one of the blessings of salvation is the healing of your body. Amen. The healing of your body. Remember, he came, salvation means to save from destruction, from risk, and from loss. Hallelujah. And one of the areas where we experience loss is the deterioration of our bodies. Even just through the normal aging process, we start to perish. Do you see what I'm saying? But Jesus came to save us. Hallelujah. Amen. Today, as you take communion, believe that every sickness in your body will be healed. Amen. Whether you know about the sickness or not, whether you know its name or not, amen, whether the symptoms are yet to show up or not, amen, if it's in your body, it dies today, amen, in the name of Jesus. Because our Savior took all our sins. And he took our sicknesses also with him on the cross. So every sickness, every weakness in your body is dissolving as you have communion today in the name of Jesus.
Father, we bless this bread and we bless the wine, and we ask, Lord, that you will redeem them and let the supernatural power in the blood and in the bread affect our lives, Lord.
Amen.
Let it affect any process of destruction that has begun in any life in the name of Jesus. Any area of our lives where we are being destroyed, any area of our lives where we are beginning to experience loss, anything that we are engaged in which is harmful to us, today we are separated from that harm in the name of Jesus. We are separated from any harmful habit we have acquired, any dangerous way of living, any dangerous behavior, any dangerous lifestyle that gives the enemy an advantage over us. We're being rescued from that lifestyle today. We are rescued from it today in the name of Jesus, in the name of our Savior, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Say with me, the body of Jesus Christ. The body of Jesus Christ. And you may eat the bread. Take the wine. Blood gives life. Blood restores life. The Bible says the life of a thing is in the blood. And as you drink this today, believe that God is giving you life. The life that salvation brought you. It says it is the thief who comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I came that you will have life and have it more abundantly. Receive the abundant life that God intended for you to have. In the name of Jesus. Anything that is trying to cut short your life is rebuked in the name of Jesus. Anything that is trying to make your life miserable and meaningless is rebuked in the name of Jesus. Anything that is trying to turn your life into a useless one. Anything that is turning your life into one of regrets, one of misery and a very painful life is addressed right now in the name of Jesus. The blood of Jesus, we lift up the blood of Jesus against the demons and evil spirits that have been released against you, that have been assigned to your life, assigned to your career, assigned to your marriage, assigned to your finances, to cause you to bleed until you are no more. In the name of Jesus, we rebuke every such spirit. We rebuke every such demon. We rebuke every such devil. Every devil that is stealing something from anyone, we rebuke him in the name of Jesus Christ. Demons whose mission is to kill you, is to make you live recklessly and to make you live a dangerous life, so they can kill you. We rebuke them in the name of Jesus. Your life is being saved today. You are being saved from demons and evil spirits. You are being rescued from the work of darkness as you encounter the blood of our Savior. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Say with me, the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ. You may drink. Now just lift up your hand and thank him for your salvation. Everybody just thank him and say, Lord, I thank you for saving me. Thank you. Thank you for the rescue. Believe that you have been rescued. The things that have destroyed people in your family, some families have been destroyed by alcohol,
destroyed by womanizing, destroyed by so many vices and so many things, it will skip you because you have been escaped. You have been saved. You have escaped from it in the name of Jesus. You have been rescued from that in the name of Jesus. Thank Him. Thank God. Thank God for your salvation. It means you will not go down like your cousin did. You will not go down like your uncle did. You will not go down like your father did. You will not go down like others have gone down in the name of Jesus. And now, because of your salvation, the remaining members of your family can also be saved. Because the Bible says when a person is saved, their household also is saved. So salvation has come to your house. Salvation has come to your family. Salvation has come to your children. Salvation has come to your siblings. Salvation has come to anyone that is connected to you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for salvation. Thank you for salvation. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your blessing in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Why don't you go ahead and put your hands together for the Lord? Amen. Hallelujah. Does it feel good to be saved? Are you proud of your salvation? Are you glad to be saved? Yeah. Hallelujah. You may be seated.